It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, this is what I did today.
What'd you do?
I installed the thing that shot water up my butt.
Oh, you mean a whatchamacallit? I can never remember the right word, and I always say it wrong.
Day.
Yeah, that or thing.
Bidet, depending on how people want to pronounce it. Yes, I installed the bidet attachment today, and new toilet seat, because our old one was broken and messed up anyway. Done a home improvement.
You did it by yourself.
I did it all by myself. I turned off the water supply and hooked things up and all the things.
Wow. I'm very
and
proud
it works.
Of you.
Shoots water right out my butt. I've tried it twice, even though I haven't had to poop yet.
That's more than I needed to know for sure.
It's not a variable pressure thing. You really got to be gentle with it. It can get crazy.
Okay.
I'm very excited. It makes me feel much cleaner.
Well, that's what they say. They say it's a better hygienic, solution.
And I just feel like a badass for having done it. Did it quick, too. Didn't even have no mistakes or nothing. About 20 minutes.
Yes, I'm very proud of you for doing that. Good job.
Pretty sweet.
Good job.
Trish is still a little weirded out by it.
Oh?
Yeah, I made her dry it out, too. Has a second nozzle that's supposed to be for lady issues, but like that sparked the whole conversation about which issues, because in a lot of cases it doesn't make any sense. But it's there. I bought the deluxe one. Oh, there it is. But still, like the deluxe one was like $40.
Was that
remarkably affordable?
Was that more complicated to install?
No. It just got two nozzles, and you can set it different. It's all started, I'd always known this was a thing, but Trish saw a commercial for a thing called the Dude Wiper 3000. And it's ridiculous. And she wasn't sure it was a real commercial. She thought maybe it was a joke, but I explained. All products that deal with pooping have to be really silly. They're too nervous about it. Think about it. Seriously. Remember that stupid stuff you were supposed to spray in the toilet so your poop wouldn't stink? Like, they made those commercials really silly. And the squatty potty made those really silly. Like, people can't cope with it if it's like, seriously, this will help you. And so, yeah, they had the Dude Wiper 3000 from Dude Products. And it looked pretty cool. And she's like, is this real? I'm like, it is. And I think I want to buy it. Because in my mind, a bidet thing involves like, hooking a tube like under the rim of the toilet and stuff, and that just sounds kind of gross and complicated. No, it's just the thing you hook on the back and it's just there. It was like $100, and so I looked on Amazon, and yeah, they're mostly way cheaper than that. Some of them are like 30, so I just got one of those and it's all good. I'm very happy.
Good. Well done.
I haven't used it proper yet. I'll have to tell you about that next week.
No, you don't have to. No.
Listeners will want to know.
I know.
They'll want to know.
I really doubt it. No,
it's one thing to just shoot water
it.
Up my butt, and it's another to effectively
look
shoot water up my butt.
There are ways to talk about such things, and about 75% of the time we've been talking about it, it has been that so far.
We'll be fine then.
There's no reason to go from 75% to like 30%. There's no reason.
I'll talk about how effective it is at cleaning my anus properly. I will talk about it properly.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Podcast. The only podcast in the world where I talk about my ass.
Don't do it. Oh, I knew he was going to do it. I talk about my
ass. I'm Tony.
And I'm Mortified. And this is episode, the last episode we'll ever do, because nobody will ever listen to our podcast again.
Dude. People are interested in my butt.
488. And my name's William. And please move on to something else.
Tell William how you are, in fact, interested in my butt. Go to the blog,
magictalkinghead.com,
and tell William all about how interested you are in my butt. So actually, talk about if you have bidet attachments, because in telling people I installed them, I found out someone I know has one, and I had never known. I'm curious if other people have them.
My wife's bathroom has one.
Oh, did you guys install it yourself?
She did.
Oh.
She
did. Did she like it?
She doesn't complain about it. I mean, I think, you know, this was something that, you know, again, it is said that this is a better hygiene option and so on and so forth. I mean, this is a thing that people use. Again, there are perfectly
way
not
better on the plumbing,
but not
physical plumbing. I mean, the actual building.
Right. It's just, you know, this is a topic that people ought to be able to talk about without it being too disturbing, as long as they don't get too graphic about it. But yes, this household has two bathrooms, and one of them is equipped with this device, and she wanted it in her bathroom. But
you've never used it.
No, because I don't use her bathroom.
Yeah.
But there has been discussion about installing them in both bathrooms or whatever. We just haven't done that. And but she wanted it, and I think it's, you know, it's done exactly what she wanted to do. She's glad she has it. I think if she ever needed to replace it, she would do so, kind of thing. So yeah, I would say she's satisfied with the product. She installed it herself. So
she probably uses a lot less toilet paper?
Sure, yeah, right. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people have sort of moved toward them during the COVID thing, was for that reason.
Because I had assumed we might end up essentially using no toilet paper, but I think Trisha's still going to use a little bit. She has concern less, and I'll use much less. So mine's often been a genuine, I just don't feel, that method doesn't leave me feeling super clean. So I thought this would be better.
Right.
But what's funny is not the fact that I'm obviously making it more graphic just to mess with you. The fact that I'm still making it so much less graphic than I might, and that I,
yes, I know
conversation,
that part of my
this is me being discreet.
Right. Part of my discomfort is how this could escalate so easily. I mean, it's bad enough, but I know where it could go. I think I have a pretty good idea, and I just do not want it to go there.
This is why I podcast.
Not at all.
Those of you just joining us,
this is
the show. I talk about my butt for an hour, and he squirms horribly. No. Makes me, I'm sorry I'm eating now. I had to cook supper right before it started. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, lately a lot of Blood Sparrow, but also other people, write in to that address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, short things. Whatever they want. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's clearly terribly mismatched servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't most of it, which is me talking about my butt. That's it.
This is going to be a interesting because you, the connection is not quite up to par. So you froze there for a second, but see, since you're recording it, yeah, it's probably going to be perfectly fine. I'm probably going to be the one who's freezing as far as people watching goes or listening to this.
I didn't notice anything. So that's weird. I have a question for you that I feel I've asked you like 1,000 times. But okay. I never retained the answer. Talk to me about 1919 root beer and how it relates, if at all, to A&W root beer.
Some of that. Did you ask me about 1919 root beer?
See, that time you froze up for me, too.
Oh.
Explain to me about 1919 root beer and its relationship, if any, to A&W root beer.
Okay. I actually contacted them about this very question because there's the coincidence of the fact they started in the same year, 1919.
Beer, 1919 root beer. I've been very concerned lately.
No, it wasn't like that. I just contacted them and I said, hey, you know, you and A&W, you started the same year and the flavor is very similar. So are you guys, yeah, it is very similar.
What's the deal?
So I asked them, are you guys just the same thing or is it just a coincidence that the 1919 connection, so the, you know, the flavor connection? And they said, nope, we're not related. It's a whole different thing. And we conversed for a little bit about their product and where we got it and, you know, how you can get kegs of it and stuff like that.
Highly suspicious.
But that was a long time ago. What's suspicious?
Same year, similar flavor palette. I mean, I think somebody stole it from somebody else.
Well, it is kind of unusual that it tastes so similar and it goes back so far, right?
Same year. I think either Albert and Wilma stole it from Joe 1919 or... Joe stole it from Albert and Wilma.
Well, I mean, I suppose it's possible that they got it from a similar source because as I understand it, the guys that made A&W got it from somewhere. They didn't invent it. They, you know, bought it. So it could be
a fortune teller in a tent by the side of the road that as soon as they got the recipe, they turned around and she was gone.
I'm just saying that there might have been a time where if like in 1919, for example, if you were looking for a root beer recipe, there were probably several. In fact, there was a time where like Dr. Pepper would have been considered a kind of root beer because if it was a root beer, just all that was required was that it was essentially an herbal tea that was carbonated and served at a soda shop. It only after a while did it start to be associated more specifically with specific flavors like sarsaparilla, sassafras, birch, anise, and things like that.
So I think it's way more fun to invent root beer myths. That originally there was a spring that from which bubbled out just this perfect root beer. And that this group found it together, and then one of them said, "We must keep it a secret amongst our people." And another one was like, "No, we could be rich." And like, there's a whole. Can we get some secret societies in here somewhere? I would love that. Like the Order of the Root and the Sarsaparilla Society, and.
Well, it'd be fun to build it around sarsaparilla, but. Like the sarsaparilla as an herb, as a healing herb, for example, let's say you wanted to work that in, like there was something revered about this herb. From what I can recall, and someone can check me on this, but most of the herbal remedies that apply to sarsaparilla are treating sexually transmitted diseases.
Sarsaparilla was an ancient native god of healing. and he was sacred. Like, I love this idea. Let's make these root beer myths. If you have a root beer myth, put it in the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Where is your origin for root beer? How is the early days of the root beer wars? Tell me all about that. And how even now, written on the back of the Declaration of Independence, is a special recipe for root beer.
I think I read
on the back of the Constitution
actually,
is one for orange soda.
I think I read somewhere that someone I was arguing or was implying that that sassafras was kind of became a big deal in root beer first, and then when people started to think it was unhealthy for you somehow, like carcinogenic or whatever, then sarsaparilla took over. But I've read other places that sarsaparilla, one of the reasons sarsaparilla got popular was because a lot of people think sarsaparilla has a medicine-y taste. And so therefore when people put it in root beer, you could convince them more that it was a tonic because it tasted like like a medicine.
I see.
And that's how sarsaparilla got popular as a root beer, because they were trying to sell it as something that had medicinal value. And because they thought they could convince people it tasted like it a medicine, then they would prefer it or whatever. I don't think sarsaparilla tastes medicine-y. Do you think sarsaparilla tastes medicine-y?
No, but when you say that people do, I'm not surprised. Like, I don't think it's medicine-y, but I could see how someone could. I don't know what sassafras tastes like, so I can't compare the two.
They're very similar, because we made sarsaparilla and sassafras kind of root beer here I don't know. It was we made a soda here that was just sarsaparilla and just sassafras. And they did taste similar, although I much preferred sarsaparilla. And sarsaparilla without anything added, like vanilla or spearmint or whatever, a lot of things that they add to it, it does taste, I mean, again, I'm kind of like you. I wouldn't have thought it had a medicine-y taste if I hadn't read that other people did. But after reading that other people did, and then having just straight up plain sarsaparilla, I understood why people thought that.
And separately sassafras, and nobody like visited you like Men in Black or anything?
No.
You're all still alive. Like,
it's not hard to do. You know, you just sort of boil it in water and you kind of reduce it to a syrup. And I mean, you put sugar in it, obviously sweeten it a little bit. It tastes pretty good.
I am concerned for our safety now that you put all this out there.
Why?
I think they're going to get us. I think they're one of the societies won't like this information out there.
Oh, but, well,
I mean, you know, yeah. Root beer recipes should be free to all. So, you know, I'm with you on this, but if I'm not here next week, you know why. You took it there. I just wanted to talk about my butt. Is an airplane doing circles over your house?
Oh, come on. You can probably guess what's going on. My window is like 2 feet away from me right here. And so guess what's going on in my backyard?
It legit, I assume it's a lawnmower, but it legit sounds like an airplane, but it won't stop. The heck is mowing your lawn during your podcast?
My wife is.
Did you not maybe ask her to wait until we were done recording? Because it might sound like an airplane is circling over your house.
It was one of those things.
I asked my neighbors. I don't even like them.
Now look, it was things where, I mean, first of all, the lawn really needs it. That's point number one. Point number
two. Can't wait even another hour. It's that bad.
Look. Well, it just, you know, I hear what you're saying, and she's never done it before.
I hear what you're mowing.
she's never done it before, so there was some questions as to whether or not it would really be that big a deal, especially since we don't have much of a backyard, so it's not like she's going to be back there for an hour or whatever.
I can't hear it now. It seems like it's stopped.
Well, yeah, that's because she's been in and out. She's probably done back there. Well, no, she's probably not done back there. But it just seemed like...
After this podcast, I want you to go to your wife and ask her why she hates me. That's the question.
It wasn't all her decision. There was a discussion about it.
And you were like, fuck this podcast.
No. I thought...
Plus years. Screw it. Oh, I want you to mow on the window. I want you to put the mower on the glass and just... Because I know he's just going to talk about his butt, and I'm sick of his crap, so to speak. Like, I am going out in a blaze of glory.
Oh, here it comes again. It was just one of those things where I thought, you know what? I mean, it's probably going to be okay. I'm sure if I had said, you know, that we shouldn't do this during the podcast because it's going to be a problem, she would, of course, wouldn't have done it. But I just thought, but she, you know, it was really going to be an inconvenience for her not to do it. She's lots of other things to do. Sometimes she's working at night, by the way, because things at work are busy and picked up or whatever. So it's like she doesn't have all the time in the world just to not do something that needs to be done. And
there's nobody else in the house who can do it.
People complain about our yard all the time. Well, about that, there's someone else in the house doing it. There are certain things that she wants or needs to do that she needs to do. Because it's got to be done a particular way, and she's particular about it, and that's a whole other thing.
It's fine. After we're done, go to your wife, ask her why she despises me so much. Even talked about it, that she just has to express it via lawn mowing.
It is my fault.
I mean, I would have been open to the discussion.
It is my fault completely that this happened. She, it's my fault, not hers at all.
Well, that's true. Let's get into my butthole again. All right. But anyway, using the bidet.
I think I was already punished. Look, I have learned my lesson. Although, I mean, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
It probably won't happen again. I mean, it's never happened before.
Yeah.
And so there's no reason it should happen again.
Not like grass grows.
Unless it does.
Yeah. Grass mostly stays at the height you cut it. Oh, fine. I'm housekeeper, the home tender and everything. I'm getting better about our lawn because our lawn gets really long and looks really crappy compared to everybody else's. I also very deliberately am doing it during the week because we share a mower with my neighbor. We went in together on it. And so they work full time. I'm like, they'll want to do the weekend. Why don't I make it easy for them and be like, anytime you want in the weekend, you can do it. It's an electric mower, and so not only does the other person not have to not be using it, but you have to charge the batteries and all that business. Here's a simple one. You can have the weekends. I'll do it during the week. So I'm trying to do it during the week, and then also I'm watching the weather and stuff like that. And our lawn, as I think I've mentioned before, has multiple kinds of grass. Different parts of our lawn look very different. And so what I discovered Monday when I mowed, I discovered two things. I learned a valuable lesson on Monday that if I go to the gym and do my full workout and then come home and sit for about an hour and have breakfast and then go outside and mow the lawn, that is too much. And I spend the rest of the day in pain.
Oh, no.
Unable to do much of anything else. I couldn't even cook dinner that night. It was bad. And then the next day, I see the little old lady who's there, and she wasn't there on Monday because she was mowing. She said, yeah, I learned a lesson a while back that I don't work out, I don't do this and lawn mowing on the same day. And I was like, I learned that lesson yesterday. Like I said, different kinds of grass, so they look different. But I didn't ever consider before is they also grow at different speeds.
Yeah.
So whereas one side of my lawn needed it and I mowed it, when I got to the other side, not only could I not tell where the line was between my lawn and the neighbor's lawn, after I mowed, I could not see where I had mowed.
Yeah.
So it was bad. So that one was like 2 weeks. I think 3 weeks is too long for us, but it's a real sweet spot. 2 weeks might be a little too late. So ideally the sort of 2.5 week thing. And I fucking hate mowing the lawn. I wish I had some kid around here to pay to do it. I love paying kids to do lawn mowing.
Yeah, we've done that before. The thing is, lawn stuff, yard stuff in general is kind of her domain. I mean,
same with Trish, like, except mowing the lawn. She doesn't give a shit about mowing the lawn. She's the one who gardens and all that crap.
And you know, there have been times, and I'll help her if she's doing it or whatever. But there have been times where I've tried to, like, mowing the lawn was a thing. It's like, I thought, well, I can do that. How do you screw that up? But here's the thing. I do, somehow. I mean, and this has been true ever since I was little. Dad used to have me mow the lawn, and he always had to have someone mow it after me because I did such a bad job. And he would ask me, it's like, how can you not do this? And I didn't know the answer because I didn't want to not know how to do it. I didn't like getting in trouble for, and it's,
my knowledge, there is exactly one thing that it's possible to screw up about mowing the lawn.
Well,
leave gap.
There would just be like things I would, miss things that I supposedly missed. And I don't know how. I have no idea. I would try every strategy to not let that happen. I would mow, and then where I was sure the overlap was like half the mower. Like I would take twice as long to mow the lawn as any of my brothers needed to do it, thinking that maybe if I just took more time and I overlapped the paths or whatever more, that it would never happen, but it still did. You know, and I think my family became convinced, and maybe some of them are still convinced, that I deliberately messed it up so that I wouldn't be asked to do it anymore. But that I would not do that, because
that's not you.
Who would want to be known as the idiot that kept them along? For one,
two, I'd be fine with.
I mean, it just meant I had to do some other thing that I didn't want to. It just meant I had to do some other thing I didn't want to do.
I am super into screwing up chores so you never have to do it again. But in your case, I'm pretty sure that even now, you know, 40 some odd years later, you go to sleep still bothered by that.
I am a little bothered.
So there's no way you did that on purpose.
But
I don't know. Was it electric mower or push mower? Or, sorry, gasoline mower?
Well, on the farm, it was a gasoline mower all the time, right. Yeah. So, it could have been that the blades were just dull or something, but nobody else seemed to have the problem.
The blades. This is what I'm wondering. Because, I mean, there's different positions. You put the blades down, right, like toward the grass, as opposed to facing up to the sky?
Yeah, it was a push mower, and it was, yeah. You couldn't, there wasn't.
I don't know that. I had no idea.
Now, here at this house, we've had we've done a mower that was not gas or electric, but it was just the kind that, you know, spins when you push it.
Yeah.
And
that's what I grew up with, because we barely had a lawn. So when we bought this house, I made Trish get one of those. I'm like, I hate gas mowers. Like, holy crap, when you got a real lawn, that's crazy.
Yeah, so I used that, and of course it was terrible. But then I could blame the mower itself. It's like, oh, you know, these and the blades aren't very sharp. But then we got a gas mower. Someone left their gas mower behind when they moved, and it was practically new. And that's the gas mower we still have. So I started to use that, and it's like the mow job wasn't that much better. And I just had these flashbacks from when I was growing up. I was like, why am I so bad at this? And I don't think my wife cared that much, but at the same time, she knew if she did it herself, it would, you know, look the way she wanted it to look. And she was doing all the other yard work. So it just ended up, that's what she did.
Toward the mower, right? The mower's in front of you and you face towards it while you're mowing, right?
Yeah. Now, to be fair, if earlier today I'd said, hey, I'm going to go mow the lawn so you don't have to later. I mean, she definitely would have, you know, let me do it. But she also would have noticed problems with it later. Not that it would have bothered her necessarily, because she probably would have been glad that she didn't have to do it. But there's other stuff she's doing out there besides mowing the lawn. Our lawn isn't that large. There's other stuff that she's out there doing, and she's just mowing the lawn along with it. And mm-hmm. I was concerned at first that it might interrupt the podcast, but I thought, oh, maybe it won't. Maybe it'll be okay.
Maybe it won't. Maybe we won't hear. Or maybe.
Okay, fine.
Maybe everything is ruined.
Oh, well.
All right. How's your week been, other than this travesty?
Lots of TV, man. Woo!
Oh, yeah, yeah. What you watching? What you watching?
We watched Cursed.
Oh, yeah. How is that? We're gonna, I think.
Didn't like it.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
It's getting mediocre reviews, too. I'm not happy about that.
I can think of things that I would have preferred, but you know what? Are you going to watch it?
I think so.
You will? Or?
I think so, yeah. So don't, okay, well, don't spoil things.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after you've watched it. And we also watched... What's that?
I have one question.
Oh, okay.
Was it just wasn't that good, or was there like they did it this way and I really didn't like that they did it this way kind of stuff?
The latter.
I was afraid of that. All right.
Yeah.
I may not watch the whole thing, but we'll see.
Then we also watched the first season of The Alienist.
Oh, Trish wants to watch that, but we don't currently have any access to it.
The first season is on Amazon.
For free?
Yep.
I'm free?
Prime, yep.
Oh, I will tell her that.
The second season just started on TNT or whatever it is, so.
Okay.
But we watched it on Prime, yeah. It was... I'd be curious to know what she thinks of it if she watches it. It was okay. It could have been better, though. It could have been a lot better. I'll probably watch the second season. I think I had some pretty high expectations for it, though. And that's on me, I think. But I'd be curious to know what she thinks of it.
A while back, she watched first season of Frankenstein Chronicles.
Yeah.
And I told her that you had watched that and that you had not particularly liked it. That's understandable because you like almost no versions of Frankenstein. Well, after it was done, yeah. She, giggling like a lunatic, said, I think I know why William didn't like this. And then she explained the overall plot to me. And I am amazed you didn't toss around swear words when you were talking about that show. It is the dumbest motherfucking thing.
I
don't give a shit about the story of Frankenstein, and even I think that's terrible. Like, that is, it's a mess.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, I don't want to spoil it in case you want to watch it. Just go to Wikipedia and shit, and it's not the show you think it is. And then it's not even that show for like one episode. Oh my God.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing we've been watching is Avatar The Last Airbender, because when it was first something we could watch like years ago, obviously, like 13 years ago, we only watched like 7 episodes of it for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
And we thought, well, you know, we liked it. So what, and we never finished it. So, and now it's kind of a thing. People are watching it now. So we thought, well, we'll watch it.
Yeah, cause now, I think Legend of Korra is about to hit Netflix.
Yeah. So now, when we first started watching it, it wasn't as good as I remember. Although I think there might've been, when we watched it the first time, there were kids home and everything. And having the kids there might've kind of enhanced the experience of watching
Infectious. I get it. Yeah.
But then it actually got better. Like, I think maybe the show did improve, or at least I perceive it improving a little bit over time. Like, they kind of hit its stride kind of thing.
Once you get a better handle on the characters, that almost always helps. A lot of shows start off and the characters are a little loosey-goosey. And then once the writers clearly understand who they're dealing with, it often gets better.
Yeah, and also the tone, they couldn't quite figure it out. It felt like they couldn't quite figure it out at the beginning, like it would be very serious, and then they'd do something jokey, and the joke goofy. Didn't really land. Yeah, and now
you done? Did like, you watch the whole thing?
No. We've only gotten halfway through the first whatever. First book okay. or season.
Out of the three, yeah.
But right. The tone,
you're in for a
the
trip.
Tone is, yeah, the tone is really, like they figured it out. And we also, I'd forgotten that Dave Filoni was a big part of it. And I really can sense his, you know, signature on it. I mean, we've watched.
It's really felonious.
Yeah, kind of. You can. I don't know if he picked up a lot of stuff from that and then brought it to Clone Wars, or if there's something about him that he brought to both things.
It's just how he is, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. But you can, when I saw his name and I remembered he was involved with it, I suddenly wasn't surprised, but only as we got into subsequent episode, like the early episodes, I wouldn't have been able to tell. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he worked on it from the beginning too, but it's by the time you get to like, you know, 8, 9, and 10 or whatever, it's like, they really know what they're doing by then. And then you see his name up there and it's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've been watching just tons of stuff like that. How was your week?
I'm not watching a lot. I watched a couple of things. For those of you who are interested, I don't know why. I'm only halfway through it. But on Hulu right now is the infamous 70s sci-fi movie Zardoz, starring Sean Connery. And it's famously considered bad. And it's most famous if you've ever seen a shot of Sean Connery wearing an orange diaper and ammo bandoliers and his hair in a braid. That's Zardoz.
Okay.
It's a bizarre post-apocalyptic movie. And I realized at some point I hadn't actually seen it, and so I should watch it. I'm watching it bits and pieces of time. It is really bad. But it is reminiscent of a different book called Lord of Light that Roger Zelazny wrote. I'm finding that fascinating because it's sort of taking a similar tack. And I think the idea is very cool. It's just being handled very poorly. And so, yeah, so that, I mean, that's a fun, goofy thing to watch. I also found out on pure accident on Netflix right now is the original Wicker Man.
Oh.
I had never seen the original. And had always meant to. And so I watched it. It's good. What most amazing thing about it to me is it somehow makes the Nicolas Cage one even worse to me now. Like, the Nicolas Cage one was terrible. But somehow, like, knowing what they were kind of going for, it's so much worse. And it's a very 70s movie. I would almost call it a musical, except it's not there's not that step outside of reality. There's just like 6 or 7 times in the movie where people sing songs. I find it very cool and a really neat idea. So I would recommend it. And yeah, and it's sitting on Netflix. So check it. It's only like 90 minutes.
I can't remember when I saw that, because I have seen it.
I had never seen the original. But it's Christopher Lee. Not only Christopher Lee with hilariously crazy fluffy hair, but later Christopher Lee in drag, sort of. He's playing essentially a pantomime character for a harvest festival, but he's supposed to be the lord of the manor dressed as a woman, and so he is. That was interesting. But I'm not doing too. I'm listening a lot to the audiobooks of Dresden Files. I'm trying to sort of ramp myself back up for the new ones. Playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, but just sort of off and on. Kind of busy. I haven't had a lot of time for watching stuff. Been doing a lot of work around the house, running a lot of errands, turning in claims for the Great Iowa Treasure Hunt. We're going to get probably like $600 back from that.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Fish was like, one of the things you can do now that you've got time is go check the Great Iowa Treasure Hunt. So I went and I put in her name and I found four things, all of which were basically tiny refund checks that we would occasionally get from one of our old medical insurance things. It was something with prescriptions. We would pay too much, and then they'd send us a check for like $11, and we would forget to cash it or something. And so there was four of them. It's like 100 and something. Then mine had 10 of those, and then a car insurance adjustment for like 200 something. So those are all. I finally submitted the claims and everything, and those are it's like $600 between them. It was pretty cool.
Huh.
If you live in Iowa, go check out the Great Iowa Treasure Hunt. It's where all the lost payments and checks live. And you type in your name, and they're like, here's stuff we found under that name. Any of this yours? And you can say yes and try and get it.
I used to, at the Iowa State Fair in the Varied Industries building, they always have a place where you can go look stuff up. And I did it every year, and I never found anything. Maybe I should try it again.
You can look it up just online now, yeah.
Yeah. I probably remember to do it.
Started the final edit for Odd Wings. It's gonna suck.
Why?
So slow.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This is the final edit. So not only am I chapter by chapter looking at all the edits from three different editors, technically four, but three different sets of editors, and then I'm going through very carefully reading each word and make sure that the sentences all work. This is the last one. I'm taking all the typos. I'm taking all the grammar, making it as good as it can be. And so it is slow as hell.
Yeah.
And no fun. I'm not changing any content. I'm not writing anything now.
Oh, so yeah.
It is the least satisfying and most difficult part. So that sucks.
Yeah.
It'll be done soon, and then I'll have a real live book that hopefully somebody will buy.
Hopefully.
We'll see. But yeah, not too much. I had some sort of intestinal troubles, illness, but it didn't match like normal food poisoning or anything, and like, because normally that comes with like fever and stuff like that. But I was really sick a couple days ago.
Oh.
Just like with one symptom. Otherwise it was fine. It was very weird.
But you're okay now?
Yeah, I think so.
That's good.
We did play For the Queen online with some friends. A cooperative storytelling game. Where you are the retinue for this queen and you're going someplace. And just questions come up, and everybody takes them in turn, and you answer questions, which help find both the queen and your character.
Oh, never heard of it.
Pretty fun. I think you would very much like it. It has some online versions, which is how we managed to do this. I had only played. There's a kid's version about finding the princess's lost cat or something that we played with the whole family. That included like some 6-year old, so it went off the rails real fast. But this one was very cool. Okay. Trish and Steph had played it at Gamacon, and they really liked it. So. And this Saturday, Trish is running for a few of us a game called Bluebeard's Wives, which, again, cooperative storytelling, I don't know a lot. But shockingly, going to be real dark, apparently. Go figure, Bluebeard's Wives. But I'm excited for that. I think that's all I got. We should draw a thing.
Okay. Did you know that the attraction in Disney World and Disneyland that is the Haunted Mansion, when they were first developing it, maybe I talked about this already, when they were first developing it, there were two schools of thought, basically. One that it would be funny and goofy, and another that it would be really scary.
It does sound familiar.
And the really scary version was going to be that the house was built by a pirate, and that was going to be the tie-in with Pirates of the Caribbean in that themed area there. But they couldn't decide, and that's why for a long time, if you went to the Haunted Mansion, it was sometimes when you were riding it, you were like, this seems like it's supposed to be really scary, but this is really goofy, and they don't really go together, and because they never did really decide, they just sort of threw it together. And I think Walt died before it was done and all this other stuff. So it was this weird amalgamation of kind of scary, but kind of not.
I keep telling you, you should read The Magic Kingdom by Cory Doctorow. It would be free online. All about a future where two different groups are vying for the right to build the new Disney's Haunted Mansion.
That is interesting.
It's a very cool, it's one of those scarcity economy things. And so the money around is now prestige based. And so this is what people are trying to do to get all the prestige from it and stuff like that.
Interesting.
All right. I've drawn a thing. For some reason, the hat has started turning things blue. This is from Blood Sparrow.
Oh, good.
Blood Sparrow says, "You're just never going to change that logo, are you?"
Oh. The answer's probably no. Or, I mean, I'm not going to do it.
I think you hit on something right there. Two things to me. One, I like it. I made it. I like it. It is like the idea of this giant glowing hat. And I especially like the idea of a giant glowing hat as drawn by a 5-year-old. Something about that. I mean, it is exactly what I was going for. Like, it looks exactly how I wanted it to. That being said, if somebody wants to pitch us a new logo, I'm all about that. Also, if somebody wants to pitch us a new intro and outro, I'm all about that as well. We've had this one for a few hundred episodes now. Although, if you're watching this on YouTube, you don't even hear it. A lot of people who came late to the party think that's me on the intro and outro. But it is, in fact, a gentleman by the name of Sir Guido. Who no longer listens, who kind of dropped off the internet, which made me a little nervous. I don't know what happened to him, but if somebody knows out there, let me know. But
do you think the logo looking like it was made in paint, do you think as time goes by, do you think as time goes by, its irony factor goes up a little bit? Like, ooh, look, something made in paint, haha, you know? Because back when you made it, that wasn't that unusual. It was it was already something you didn't do. So there was, had a little bit of an irony factor, but now it's been almost 10 years. And it's like,
I think it only goes up in irony if you claim that the rest of the podcast has increased in quality beyond that. I still feel like we're a podcast right at the level of MS Paint logo. I feel like that is, on brand for us.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right.
But no, if somebody wanted to do a slick, cool new logo, or even a shitty one, I don't care. seriously, go for it. Go for it. Yeah. I would love that. We used to get fan art that we got like two things, one. And one Ryan Gosling meme specifically making fun of me.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, y'all should do that. I'm not, y'all have lives, I presume. You are listening to this, so I presume. I don't want, you know, to take a lot of, but I mean, the level of effort required to beat what we've currently got going is what? Half hour when you're drunk? Like,
when you're drunk.
Like, so, I mean, feel encouraged.
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably won't do shit.
No, probably not.
That might be what we change the slogan of the podcast to. The Magical Talking Hat. We probably won't do shit.
Probably not.
We had a few minutes. Should we try for the elusive second question?
Why not?
Oh, I did last night watch the Riff Tracks version of Subspecies 4, Blood Fury. Blood Frenzy? Blood? I can't remember. Subspecies 4. Okay. Storm. I believe it was Blood Storm.
Mm.
Years ago, I watched all three Subspecies movies and watched the spin-off film Vampire Journals. And for a while, Vampire Journals was one of my favorite vampire movies. That was back when vampire movies really sucked. Still kind of suck. There's some better ones now.
Yeah.
And then I found out they made a sequel that kind of tied the two together. And I was like, holy shit. And then I never saw it. And then last night, I was like, hey, Riff Tracks did it. All right, I'll pay $2 for that. It was pretty funny. All right. Another one. Also blue.
Blue.
Also Flim Blood Sparrow. This one is longer. It has had to be abridged. Blood Sparrow says, I despise loosing peanuts. It says loosing. So much that I place a napkin / paper towel between peanut bowl and shell bowl and crack the peanut on that. Holy shit.
I mean,
this is an absolute revelation. No, seriously. This is the breakthrough we've been looking for.
Is it?
Something like this? We could end lost peanut despair in our lifetimes.
In our lifetimes, man.
I love this idea. I am going to start this idea. I don't even have any peanuts, unfortunately, right at hand. But when I do, I'm doing this. I love this. This is brilliant. This is great. This is the best thing ever. It solves the whole thing.
And can I ask, what do you think prevented you from coming up with the solution yourself?
I don't know. It does seem pretty straightforward. I don't want to downplay the genius of Blood Sparrow here. And I think
I don't either.
To undermine her. Like,
no, I didn't mean it that way.
I don't know. It is one of those that you're like, of course. Why didn't I think about it before? Yeah. It's like a staging area.
Aging area.
I love this. This is brilliant. This is awesome. Thank you, Blood Sparrow.
Also,
the Lost Peanut Despair Society owes you a great debt. Through the funding of my mother-in-law, we've been able to keep this organization alive, waiting for research to pay off, and now we've had a breakthrough.
I mean, we actually should have thought of it when we were talking about it, because you said earlier that until you get a lot of shells in the bowl, it's not really a problem, which suggested that if you had two bowls and would use the bowl, you know, and then to catch
and then
anything
pass it
and,
on.
Then, and then to pass it on. And
oh, and that's the thing with me. I have my solution for the time being has largely been we got a trash can right here, like right here.
Yeah.
So I got my two bowls, and when the shell bowl gets fuller than I like, I just dump it right there.
Yeah.
Sometimes not soon enough. Okay. I think if you have a place that is just for one peanut at a time.
Yeah. Problem solved.
Yeah. I love this. We could potentially in the long term work out some sort of utensil. It's like a bowl, like molded plastic. It's like a bowl, and then hooked together to a sort of square area in the middle.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I bet if we could find a way that you could just sort of brush it into the shell bowl.
Yeah, right.
I love this. I mean, so many, you may have, this may be the breakthrough that will cure lost peanut despair. We're absolutely going to give you credit, Blood Sparrow. When the awards happen and so forth, like, you're the one who made this discovery, no matter what William says.
Someday, people will say, we'll look back and say, nobody now knows. Back in the past, sometime in the ancient past, someone eliminated these problems that we no longer even have to worry about: the polio, measles, and the
lost peanut despair.
And the lost peanut despair.
I was thinking Eli Whitney and the cotton gin kind of thing, but I think yours is more apt. I think lost peanut despair is less of a mechanical issue and more of a disease. So I think
of course.
Yep. Thank you, Bloodsbury. I'm so glad. I was glad you were back already. Now I'm really glad you're back, because I love this. This is the best thing ever.
Yep.
I'm still calling the episode Root Beer Myths. But
root beer myths or root beer lore?
Myths.
Root beer myths. Conspiracy theories?
No, I specifically said the words root beer myths multiple times.
Okay.
I've heard a conspiracy that some people want to change it to root beer lore.
But is it a myth if you're talking about secret societies? And
I was watching an old Cracked After Hours the other day, and they were talking about the theory that Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Ferris doesn't exist, and that the whole thing is in Cameron's mind, and he made Ferris up.
Right.
Then somebody said, that would be like, what about, like, with Batman's parents? And one of them was like, how can your parents be imaginary? And they were like, yeah, but what if they were, huh? Everybody was like, whoa. And she was like, yeah, blows your goddamn mind.
So that's good.
We should wrap this up.
Okay.
Remember, you have a job after this.
I do.
You're going to ask your wife why, of all the people in the world, I'm clearly her least favorite, and that she just sits around at home coming up with these methods to try and drive me insane, so that I will eventually end it all in a painful, violent, and frankly disgusting manner.
I can assure you that as soon as we're done here, I will absolutely not talk to her about this.
Why are you so scared of the truth?
Truth! You can't handle the truth. I know all about root beer, whatever the word we're using.
Go home, William. You're drunk.
myth, new root beer myth. That doesn't work. It's got to be root beer. A conspiracy doesn't work either. You're right. Root beer.
Root beer myths. Myths about root beer.
Yeah.
It seems like I coined the phrase. I made the first myths. This is my jam. Don't take this from me. You already took podcasting away with your little conspiracy to commit lawn mowing. You can't have this too.
It's too bad the word conspiracy is like not fun anymore. It's like, it used to be fun. It's not fun. It's depressing.
It was a thing on In Living Color. Maybe it was the crackhead character. I mean, somebody was like, it's conspiracy, man. A C-O-N conspiracy. That was like his catchphrase. He said,
I know. It used to be fun, but they're not fun anymore. They're sad and they're depressing.
All right. And on that note, everybody, please listen again next week for part two of Tony's. And also the results of
no,
William's wife hates me. And probably other stuff too. And in the meantime, just keep fucking that chicken.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.